K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur Laval with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted,
but not forsaken. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for once again, hallelujah, allowing, Lord, this message to go across these airways, Father, to those who are under the sound of my voice, my Father, that they might hear a word, Lord, not only from me for you, but a word that you use me through to get a word to them, that they might hear the voice behind my words, Father, that they might hear you, Jesus. And the only way they can do that is by the power of the Holy Ghost. You're the source, Father. You're the sustainer. Jesus, you are the substance. You're the word. And Holy Spirit, you are the one who bring that word into manifestation. We would ask, Father, that as we welcome the invitation to come into your presence, and as we come into your presence, my Father, we would ask this, that it would be unto us according to your word, my Father. And as in always, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom, hallelujah, and the power, and the glory, now and forever, Father. For your name's sake, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, and so shall it be. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Well, I told you last week, broadcast. Well, I like saying that. Well, I wish y'all could see this radio, so y'all can see. I wish y'all could see the big old smile that's on my face for every time I say that. And it's just a smile that not only that's seen on my face, it's a smile that comes from within my heart. So, boy, the more I say that and the more I fellowship in the presence of the Lord, boy, the more I come to the reality of that, that we really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. The Bible says, he who standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He who standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That God, where are you standing at? In the congregation of mighty people. Why are them people mighty? Because he created them in his image. And in his likeness. And we say how mighty he is. And if we created in his image and his likeness, then we mighty too. We just need to know about our might. Hallelujah. You know something else, man? We need to know. We need to know that we got an enemy. You need to know that. And you know, you need to know who your enemy is. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in high places. That's the devil and all his demon cohorts. all the different rankings, principalities. That's just the soldiers, you know. They go out. Then you got the powers. That's the one who give the command to the soldier. Then you got the wicked spirits. That's the upper ranking, you know. That's the one who's admirals. And then you got the wicked spirits in high places. That's the generals. Then you got the devil himself. That's the principality and powers and rules of darkness and wicked spirits in high places that we wrestle in. Now, he got to use people, but it ain't the people. It's him. We got the people like on the puppet string control. And that boy, if we not careful, boy, we'll react to the control man of the people or what they're being controlled by and not see the enemy man that's behind the force, not see it is the devil dangling through them, circumstances, situations, and symptoms. And then through that, he make you act according to however he wants you to act. But he uses circumstances, situations, and symptoms. And he dangled that boy in front of the world, man, to the people in the world, to us, one another. If you don't know that boy, yeah, you been hating one another, talking about one another, killing one another, deceiving one another, lying to one another, killing one another, all those things. But all the time, man, our warfare, man, our battle is not against the people, but against the devil. If we could get to the root cause of the problem, who's the root cause of the problem is the devil. That through people, man, dang a circumstance, situation, and symptoms in our lives that cause us to react to that. That's the ways of the world. In the kingdom of God, man, you know, you come to know something. Boy, that's what I love about being in the kingdom of God. You not only know about all the grace of God, but boy, you know who your enemy is. And when you know who your enemy is, and man, you can take our warfare against him. And when we take our warfare against him, then we'll see, man, that it is he who's orchestrating, man, all the division among mankind in the earth today. Instead of us being one in Christ and Christ in God, instead of us being one with God and his will and his desire for our lives, we allow those circumstances, situations, and symptoms, man, to deter us from having that and seeing that and from seeing that. And it's because, man, you know, the thing that we don't know. God said, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's the devil's job to blind our eyes and harden our hearts to seeing we see not and hearing we hear not. Unless the glorious gospel of Jesus, boy, would be manifested to us, would be revealed to us, that we might understand it, that we might not just have the knowledge of it, but have an understanding of that knowledge. And through the right understanding of that knowledge, then we can apply it effectively. And when applied effectively, then the results of that is what the Bible calls wisdom. The results that come from applying the word of God to our lives effectively. See, sometimes we can apply the word of God to our life, but I'm talking about applying the word of God to our lives effectively. Hallelujah. And our enemy job is to keep us from that. He don't ever want us to come to that place. But we begin to apply the word of God to our life effectively. Because in doing that, boy, we'll be destroying the works of the devil. The Bible says, for this reason, in the book of John, 1 John, it says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To keep you from the knowledge of man, the truth. To keep you from the knowledge, man, of what God is doing. You don't mind you, man, having knowledge of what man is doing and what man is doing in and through and for God. He just don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of what God is doing in and through man. That's what he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of. He don't want you to know, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. He don't want you to know the things that God is doing. He don't want that. Glory to God. That's why he do what he do, act how he act, and say what he say, and be what he be. Why? Because he don't ever want men, God, people to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, of what God is doing. So he'll preoccupy us, men, with what we are doing, and what we are doing in for God. It ain't all bad, you know, but if it, listen, just because it's a good thing don't necessarily mean it's the right thing. It's a good thing, but it don't mean it's the right thing. If I ask my wife to fix me some cornflakes and milk, and she say, oh, I'm going to do better because my husband, I'm going to go and fix him, man, you know, a four-quart breakfast. And she do all of the eggs and the bacon and the whole hookup. And listen, you know, that's a good thing. But what I asked for was cornflakes and milk. The four-quart breakfast, that's a good thing. That ain't no bad thing. And maybe I eat that too, but what the right thing was, would have been just giving some milk and cornflakes. Because that's what I had asked for. That's a great thing. So the devil's most successful tactic against us is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. Great things like what? Great things like coming to the knowledge that we really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That we really can, man, succeed in life. That we really can, man, find our purpose and our reasons for our existence on this earth. And get in on that and walk in there and thereby, man, find fulfillment in our life. When we in on the will of God for our life. When we stop trying to get God in on what we're doing, that's our problem. We try to get God in on what we want to do and what we're doing and what we think. We got to cease from that. Instead of getting God in on what we're doing, even what we're doing for him, we got to cease from that and start, man, getting in on what God is doing. Not trying to get God in on what we're doing, but let us get in on what God is doing. Let us come to the knowledge of what God is doing. And listen, what we want to get God in on what we're doing, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to want to do good things for God and thank for God and everything else and everything. That's a good thing. What we want to do for God. But what God want to do for us, that's a great thing. And we're not careful, man. We'll be preoccupied trying to get God in on what we want to do and what we want him to do for us and everything else instead of, man, getting in on what God want to do and what God has already done. And what God is continuously doing in and through us. That's a great thing. I'll say this again. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know about the gospel of the kingdom. You don't mind you preoccupied with him with the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the good news about Jesus Christ and our Lord and our Savior and how great he is and everything else and how he died up on the cross and how he opened blind eyes and how he rose from the grave with all power, and how all the things that he did, and who he is, and what he was. Hey, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. And the devil don't mind us preaching that and listening. For the last 1,500 years, that's what the church has been preaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. But boy, that's something greater than that. Boy, that's the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. So if he can preoccupy you with the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, instead of the good news that Jesus preached, and the good news about Jesus, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, man, how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. It's a good thing, man, how Jesus Christ opened blind eyes and unstopped dead tears. It's a good thing how Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing people and casting out devils and raising the dead. It's a good thing how you died up on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave. That's a good thing. But what a great thing is the message that he preached about that. The good news about Jesus is a good thing. The good news that Jesus preached is a great thing. And the devil has preoccupied the church for the last 1,500 years with the good thing. And the church don't know nothing about the great thing. What's the great thing? The gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Okay, well, what's the gospel that, what's the difference between the gospel of Jesus and the gospel that Jesus Christ preached? The gospel of Jesus is the good news about Jesus and who he is and what he did. The gospel of the, that he preached is the good news about you and about me and who we are and where we come from and why we're here and the potential that's on the inside of all of us and the destination of our lives. That's what he come preaching. He come preaching, man, the age-old questions of mankind. What's that? Who are we? That's the search for mankind down through the ages. Who are we? Who is man? Who are we? Where we come from? That's number two. Number three is, why are we here? Number four is, what can we do? What are the potentials that's on the inside of us? And number five, where are we going to end up at? Where are we headed to? What's the destination? Those are mankind's age-old questions down through time. Everything that man is doing, man, is in the discovery of those questions. Jesus Christ come to bring the answer to those, but the message that he preached is the answer to those questions. And man has come up with his own answer. We come from a salamander, you know, and turned into this and that, and then came a monkey, and then became a man. Listen, man, that's the devil trying to make a monkey out of you. He ain't come from no monkey. Come from God. He originated from God. On the inside of you, on the inside of the physical body that you live in, is a spirit being that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That's the real you. That's what the Bible calls man. Man is spirit. They come in two models, male man and female man. But they both man. They both spirits. And the spirit don't have no gender, but man, for God's purpose and everything, that he created a house for them to live in. One is a male house, one is a female house. For the purpose, man, of producing man, mankind, man, all over the world. Who is man? That's spirit. That's the one. That's the part of us that created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That's that mighty man and that mighty woman of God that I say that we are every time I come on this radio broadcast. When I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, hey, I'm not talking to that physical man. I'm talking to that real you, that spirit man, that man that God created, just like him. Spirits. Can't see it. And it lives in a body. And it has, and it has a mind, a will, and emotions, and attitudes, too. That's a soul. That's what mankind has. It's comprised of three different compartments. Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body. What spirit? That's the part of you that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That's that mighty man, that mighty woman God that you are. What soul? That's your person. That's your own self. That's your mind, your will, your emotions, your attitude. That's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. What's your mind? How you think? What's your will? That's what you decide. That's your decision and factor. What's your emotion? That's your feelings. What's your attitude, boy? That's how you see things. Your philosophy of life. And what's your philosophy of life? That's the way you live. That's why I say again, boy, you don't ever want you to come to the knowledge, man, of the great thing. You don't ever want you to know for the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. So he'll preoccupy us with good things. That's his most successful tactic against the body of Christ, against the church. I'm going to say it again. His most successful tactic against the church is not, man, you know, all the sin, everything that's going on in the world and even in the church, too. His most successful tactic is to preoccupy the church with the good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. Why? Because he knows if the church ever get to the great thing, then, man, let me tell you something, boy, he'll be doing like what Jesus Christ intended for the church to do, what? Going about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Listen, you won't be just preoccupied with having good church on Sunday. But boy, you're talking about real churches, man, on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. What's church then? What's good church that having good when we all come together on Sunday to have our meetings and our gathering and everything else? Hey, that's a purpose for that. That's a good thing. But you know something that's greater? When you go out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and be the church. That's the great thing. So you can have a great church, man, but the purpose for having a great church is to inspire you and build you up so that when you go out and build this man, the places where you come together and worship and celebrate and get the word of God from, that we go out in everyday life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and be that word. Dispense that we heard. Receive that, dispense that, give that, man, share that, man, and win souls, man, to the kingdom of God. But that's being the church. When you go let, man, your light shine, when you go into your world and your circle of influence, man, and, man, you be that word that you heard on Sunday, that you be that word, that you be that. That we not just have good church, that's a good thing. But the greater thing is when we go and be the church. Because the church is not the building. You the church. I'm the church. God don't dwell in temples made by hand and by man. He dwells in you. You the temple of the Holy Ghost. You the temple of God. You the church. And what we've been preoccupied with just having good church. It depends on how well our emotions and attitude and feelings and mind was affected, man, determine how well, man, we had church. Man, that's a good thing, but, man, that ain't done yet. The purpose of having church, man, is to come together, man, and be edified. You see, I give you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of their ministries. Until we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all come to be a statue of Christ, till we all begin to look just like Christ, a fixed, predictable image of Christ, a statue of Christ. Until then, we become, man, little Christ. Until we become little kings that he's the king of. While we become little Lord, instead of life and circumstances and situations and symptoms dictating to us, and then we react to it, we flip the script and start dictating to the circumstance, situation, and symptom, and they begin to react to us. Instead of us reacting to it, then it'll start reacting to us. That's why the devil want to preoccupy with you with the good thing. That way he can continue, man, to act and then cause us to react. He can continue to have us under puppet strain control. While, again, all he got to do is dangle the circumstance, situation, and symptom in front of us. And the way he dangles circumstance, situation, and symptom in front of us, he got to use people. He a spirit being too. He an angel. Spirit don't have no authority in the earth without a body. So for the devil to do what he do, man, he got to have a body. He got to do it through somebody. He got to influence somebody. He got to dangle that and cause somebody to act and react according to what he's dangling in there. And then that cause you to act and react how you. And instead of loving one another, and we'll be warring against one another and slandering one another and backbiting and killing one another and speaking all manner of evil against one another. When the purpose for us having church, man, is to us to learn, man, how to grow out of that. That's the purpose why God gave you apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, right, for the perfecting of the saints. But that's That's training for reigning, to train you how to reign in life. And that's a specific way to do that. And what the devil preoccupied the church in doing, man, is preparing the people, man, to go to hell. That's religion. When Jesus Christ came in and said, hey, listen, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in from the evil that's in this world, that they occupy until I come. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come and bring them, man, you know, the kingdom of God and administer it to their spirit and get it on the inside of them first. And then in the next age, in the next season, in the millennial reign, then I'll come and manifest it on the earth. But right now I want to manifest it in the earth. I want to manifest it in them, in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit. And then it'll manifest itself, man, in their bodies, and their bodies is on the earth. Then it'll be manifested on the earth. But I'm going to start it right now. That's what I came to bring. That's what I come to bring back to you. I come to bring back to you what you lost, said the Lord. What you lost your identity, who you are. You lost, man, you know, the knowledge of where you come from, where your citizenship is, originated from. Do you know that you originated in heaven? That you begun in heaven? That's where our citizenship is. We living on the earth, but we come from heaven. And we come from heaven for a purpose. And that purpose, man, was to establish the country that we come from, to establish it in the country that we sent to. God sent us to this seen realm called the earth. And he said, establish, man, my kingdom where you come from, and that territory. That's your territory. I'm going to give that to you. Now you rule and you reign over that territory. And you make it in that territory just like it is in the territory that you come from. Yeah. So God came down, brought mankind down. They were creating his image, spirit. And then he formed the body from the ground. That's why I say your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Most High God and your spirit. That's what we live in, these physical bodies. For what purpose? So we can have authority and dominion over this physical earth. So that we could rule and reign over this physical earth. That's why I say the purpose for the church, the fivefold ministry, to edify the body of Christ, to build them up. The book of Acts says this, and now I commend you unto, like I told you at first, I ain't know any kind of way you do it. There's a certain word that do that. He said, I commend you unto the word of my grace, which is able to build you up. And not only build you up, but boy, get you your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us, that was ours, even before the foundation of the world. Devil don't ever want you to know nothing. See, that's why I say the people don't even know about the inheritance. We walking around here, man, we are heirs of the kingdom of God, but yet, man, we living like mere men and mere women, man, and poor broken homes. And all the time, man, we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. All of the kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. All of the treasures of heaven. Man, what we got in the business of being poor and having any kind of poverty is not of what you have. Poverty is a state of the mind. How you think. So you think poor. And be not deceived, going out of heart, whatsoever a man think, whatsoever a man say, and as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. But all the time, man, we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. All the joy of heaven, all the peace of heaven, all the lifestyle of heaven, all the happiness, the joy of heaven. All the divine health that's in heaven, all of the goodness of heaven, all of the splendor of heaven, all of the riches of heaven, all of the treasures of heaven, all of heaven, his lifetime, the way it is in heaven, and everything that heaven consists of, that's our inheritance. And boy, Jesus Christ come to bring that back to you. And the message that he preached was the good news about man, who you are, where you come from, and here's the most important one, why are you here? your purpose. Number four, be your potential, what you really can do in and through Christ Jesus. Not what you can do in and of yourself, but what you can do in and through Christ Jesus when you come into the kingdom, man. When you invite Christ into your heart and when you come into the kingdom. Let me back up a little minute and say something. You know, when I say amen, you know, don't get preoccupied with the gospel of Jesus Christ at the expense of proclaiming the gospel that he preached. Let me tell you something. You can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and never preach the gospel that he preached. But if you preach the gospel that he preached, then the gospel of Jesus Christ is automatically contained in it. You can't help but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ along with it. But if you just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, like I say, the church didn't know all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even how long the nails was, and do our theology today and everything. Thank God Almighty. Him rest it all. We brought our concept to the table. Lord, have mercy. As I thought about that, you know, and those are good things. But that's what man can bring his concept to the table and what he thinks about God and who he is. Instead of going to the University of Solomon and letting the Holy Ghost tell us and reveal to us who we are through Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, that's sent to us by the Father. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about, boy, us coming to the knowledge, man, of what this thing is really all about. And that's God, man, creating man, a people in his image and in his likeness, and first created man a place for them, created the heavens and the earth. And then he brought them down to the earth, man, and placed them up on the earth and gave them sovereignty, dominion, raw power. Gave us the ability, man, to accomplish, man, what our purpose was for him bringing us to the earth. What was his purpose for us, him bringing us to the earth? So that, man, we might, man, produce on this earth, that we might be gardeners, that we might cultivate this earth, and that we might make this earth, man, you know, just like it is in heaven, that we might colonize earth with heaven. That through us, boy, earth would become a colony of heaven. What do you mean? That it would be on earth just like it is in heaven. What God did, what God's original intent and plan and purpose is to extend his governing influence of his territory called heaven to earth. How are you going to do that? What is the plan of doing that? Is to create a family of sons called mankind, and put them on the earth, and through them, establish his governing influence. Establish, man, his will, his intent, his desire, his thought for mankind life. And what's his will and intent and desire and thoughts for mankind life? You see it in your prayer all the time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen to this. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Well, that boy, it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Say that again, brother. This is God's will, man, for mankind. That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? The higher it is in heaven, that's how God wanted to be on earth. In our lives here on earth. Not in heaven. He wants that to be in our lives here on earth. He ain't trying to get us back up to heaven. He's trying to get us, man, to do. He brought us here, man, to establish heaven on earth. In our territory. So that prayer that you prayed, thy kingdom come and thy will be done where? On earth. How? Just as it is in heaven. When? Now. That's what Jesus Christ come to bring. What? That governing influence of heaven back to the earth. And through that, boy, he would reestablish the kingdom of heaven back on earth. Can you imagine what the Garden of Eden was like? That God planned, that God established on the earth, on a spot on the earth, for a moment. They was there with an open door into the literal atmosphere and environment that's produced by the literal presence of the Most High God, where God dwelt, where his presence was, and the atmosphere and the environment of that place, right? The presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that kind of atmosphere, that kind of environment? But that's what God planted on the earth, man. And that atmosphere, that environment was conducive to aboard the kingdom of heaven, the Garden of Eden that was in heaven. You know where the Garden of Eden is in heaven? That's in the presence of the Most High God. In the presence of the Most High God. That's Eden. In the presence of, in that atmosphere, in that environment. And that's where God created you from. And that's why when God came down to the earth, God planted a garden in Eden. God planted that garden that we call the Garden of Eden. He planted that environment. He established that on the earth. He established his environment and his atmosphere and how his place is in a spot on the earth. There he placed mankind in. And from there he told mankind make the whole earth. Just like this place here. That's why I told you at first, boy, create us, man, and be God, to reproduce man and to be gardeners. Gardeners of what? The earth. The garden is earth. To cultivate this earth. To make the whole earth, man, just like that garden. And from that garden that he placed them in, be fruitful. What that mean? That mean have children. And everywhere your children go that's born in that place right there, when they go to their spot on the earth or their home on the earth, they're going to be the king. They're going to be the Garden of Eden there. They're going to be the president of the atmosphere of God there. They're going to be, man, the kingdom of heaven there. So, on every spot on the earth where mankind live in. That God intended. That's what God was doing. That's what God was doing from the beginning. Hey, something happened, man. You know, the devil tripped mankind up and caused him to fall. But that ain't going to stop what God doing. That's why Jesus Christ come. Even though the devil caused mankind to fall from that assignment, man, Jesus Christ came back and reestablished that assignment back on the earth. Took care of the devil, man, stripped him of all his power, man, rendered him powerless against us, and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, took back the authority and the sovereignty that Adam gave them back in the garden and gave it back to us. And that's when he come preaching, man, the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That all of the kingdom of heaven, boy, is within your reach. Why? Because I couldn't bring it back to the earth. Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden. And they started producing man in the wilderness, the barren land. Instead of producing a garden, they thought they had to produce man that land. And it is what it is here on the earth today. Instead of it being on the earth like it is in heaven, it's on the earth like it is here today. But even though God's written intent for it to be on earth like it is in hell, we know that it is not like that. But you think because of what the devil did and came in and did, man, after God set up his plan and operation and desire and governing system up on the earth, that what the devil came and did and disrupted it, man, for a season, man, going to stop, man, what God, man, determined and planned and purposed, man, from the foundation of the world for eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. You think, man, what the devil did in time can stop what God planned, man, from everlasting to everlasting? The devil is a lie. Boy, he who has begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that thing. And, boy, that's why I say when you get in on what he's doing, not trying to get him in on what we're doing, because what we're doing is trying to make it in. What he's doing, he's already made it in for us, baby. You know? That's why I tell you all the time, man, God is pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, man, saying that we can come boldly, hallelujah, back into the Garden of Eden, back into that place, back into that atmosphere. It's been provided for us. It was ours before the foundation of the world. We lost it in Adam, but God loved us so much that he made a promise, man, to that devil, man, back in Genesis chapter 3. He said, you didn't deceive them, and you didn't trick them, man, and you didn't cause them to, man, get put out of my presence, but I promise you something. Hallelujah. The seed of that woman going to come, boy, and restore everything back to them. We know who the seed of that woman was. That's Jesus. That's the good news about Jesus. Hallelujah. But you got to know the good news, man, that Jesus, the purpose for the good news about Jesus. He come in to regain everything that we lost in the original Adam and restore it back to us right now. He didn't come to man to take us to heaven. He didn't come to establish another religion or a religious group on the earth, man. He didn't come for that. He didn't come to have church. He come to train men and women and teach them that they are the church and how to be what they are, how to be the church, how to be, man, the children of the Most High God, how to be the mighty men and women of the Most High God, how to be holy and without blame, how to be, man, all that he said, man, that we are, how to be that. In order for you to be that, man, you got to hear the gospel that he preached. What's the gospel that he preached? Well, all of the kingdom of heaven, everything that you lost in Adam, all your sovereignty, all your dominion, all your power, all your ability, man, to achieve, man, what God has for you in life, everything that you lost in Adam, man, I come, man, to restore it back to you. You lost your power and control even over Satan and all your demon cohorts. I come to give that back to you, too. I come to tell you, boy, that on the inside of you is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that dwelling on the inside of every last one of us. What you saying all this for? The devil don't want you to know that. The devil don't want you to know, man, who you are, where you come from, why you're here, what you can do, and where you're going to end up at. He don't want you to know that. He don't care you knowing all about Jesus and how he died and rose from the grave, how he died for your sins, even about you accepting that, because he can't stop that. He can't stop you from being saved. What he trying to do, boy, is stop you, man, from destroying the works of the devil, destroying him and his kingdom. See, the church saves. So the devil ain't trying to stop the church from being saved. They already saved. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you're already saved, the mighty man and the mighty woman of God. You just don't know the man. You just don't know the gospel of the kingdom. You don't know nothing about the kingdom. The church don't know nothing about the kingdom. They know all about Jesus. They don't know nothing, man, about, man, the kingdom. They don't know the purpose of Jesus, man. He come, man, to bring the kingdom back. He come to restore God's plan and God's purpose and God's destiny and what God is doing. Not what the Muslim doing, the Hindus doing, the Baptist doing, the Christian doing, all that, man. That's what man is doing for God. Jesus Christ come to man, bring back, man, what God is doing for man. Hallelujah. What man is doing for God, those are good things. But what God is doing for man, those are great things. The devil's job, man, is to preoccupy you with what, man, you can do for God. So that you can try to get God in on what you're doing. And what you're doing could be a good thing. But like I told you earlier, just because it's a good thing don't necessarily mean it's the right thing. But what God is doing, hey, baby, that's the right thing. It's not only a good thing, it's the right thing. It's a great thing. And it'll bring us into our inheritance of who we really are. Instead of just having church on Sunday, man, and preparing to go to heaven, man, we'll start being a church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day, start being the church. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to bring glory to our God. Listen, miracles ain't for the church. I know that didn't go over too good, man. That's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me, man. You believe in miracles, man, that's a great thing. But, boy, miracles is really for unbelievers. Jesus was healing all them people, man, they weren't saved. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ, man. He was healing them for you, and then they believed. In the kingdom of God, man, healing is your inheritance. That's a natural thing. Ain't a miracle to the kingdom, says, man, that's supposed to happen. That's the way of life. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. That ain't, to the world, it's a miracle, but to us, it's natural. Hallelujah. I expect that. That's natural. Anything other than that is unnatural. Boy, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God, man. Hey, miracles to the world, that's a good thing ever to it. But to the church, man, that's supposed to be natural to us. You're supposed to expect that. Why? Because that's the natural way it is. That's the natural way of living in the kingdom. Why? Because in the kingdom, being everything that God does for you, everything that God does for you. I ain't talking about everything that you do for God. In the kingdom, everything that God does for you, you deserve that. You ain't got no sense of saved by grace, woe is me and poor is me and I'm just an old wretched man. Man, no, you not. You a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. You just have to come to the knowledge of that man and grow in that and learn of that man and start, man, growing up in that and start becoming that. Otherwise, you just become another religious person, another religious figure, doing your best, hoping that when you die, you get to heaven. When all the time, Jesus Christ has brought heaven to you. He came and brought the governing influence of heaven back to us so that we could get back on course toward God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. Was there that we colonize this territory that he gave us called the earth, that we make it a colony of hell? What do you mean? That the same thing that's going on in the country that we come from, our original citizenship is in heaven. That's what Philippians say in the book of Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. You originated in heaven. You come from God. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. And if you come from him, then you come from him to the earth. He ain't trying to get you back to heaven. He's trying to get you, man, back on your assignment, man, that he brought you to this earth to do, or to establish heaven on earth. And God's way of doing that, I say again, is through his family of sons called mankind. His strategy for doing that is filling us with the Holy Spirit. So he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man, who is man? The spirit. And what he breathed into man? Man's nostril. What's man's nostril? That's his body. He breathed into man's body. Hallelujah. Man, the Holy Spirit, and the soul. The Bible says, and man became a living soul, a spirit that have a personality, that have his own mind, his own will, his own attitude, his own personality, and he lived in a physical body. That's man. That's you. You a mighty man, a mighty one. Well, that's creating the image and likeness of God. That's that spirit man that you are. And you have your own mind, your own will, your own soul. And you live in a physical body. And through the fall of Adam, through Adam's disobedience, then we begin to live, man, you know, flip side. We begin to live, instead of living from the dictates of the spirit to the soul, to the body, we start living, man, from the body to the soul. And, man, the spirit is dominant, dead, and trespassing and sin. Until you hear the gospel of the kingdom. What? That all your sins, man, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How all you through him, all your sins have been forgiven. But if you're not careful, you'll stop right there. But that was for a purpose. That's a means to an end. The devil don't mind preoccupying you with the means. He never wants you to get to the end. The end is he did all that for a purpose. What? So that we can be restored. So that we can be regained and restored and replenished and put back on course toward the original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. When we come to the knowledge of what God is doing. And Bible says this, if you seek that, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you do that, if you go after that, you say, okay, Lord, not my will, and man, my will will be good thing. And many are the plans in my heart, but not my plan. It's your purpose that will prevail. And when you go out of there, what you'll be doing, then you'll make that man your number one priority. What? Boy, seeking first, man, the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God in simple terms? What God is doing. What's the kingdom of heaven in simple terms? All that heaven is. What the thing is all about? If we get in on what God is doing, the kingdom of God, then all of the kingdom of heaven, all the things of heaven, all the attributes of heaven, boy, is available to us. Watch, this is the good news. It's available to us now. Where do it begin at? It don't begin in observation. It's not over there and over here. Where it begin at? It begins in us. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. It is among you right now. But just because it's here and among us, that don't mean that you're going to receive it and you're going to have it. You got to first come to the knowledge of it. Then you got to grab hold to it and seize it and place it in your possession. You got to receive the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That all of the kingdom of heaven, man, everything that's been lost and out of here, all that been restored back to us. And, man, we can come on back into the kingdom, man, and start going up from there. And he said, I give you a gift, what, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what, to perfect you in that. Perfect you in what, boy, that the kingdom of hell, man, has been restored back to you. that the kingdom of God has been restored back to you, that your sovereignty and your dominion and your royal power that God gave you over the fish and the sea, the birds, over all the earth, has been restored and given back to you. That, man, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, that as he is, so are you. That the work that he did and that he do, so can we. And that's like the Father sent him, then so sent he us. What the Father sent him to do, man, to go about doing good, preaching this good news about the kingdom, man, healing the sick and casting out devils and raising the dead. Not so much as physically, but those who were dead and trespassing and sin. Those who didn't know how to walk according to men, who they really are. No, didn't know how to talk according to the will of God. Didn't know how to live, to heal the lame and open blind eyes. Them that didn't see what was really going on in the kingdom of God, in the spirit man, what God was doing. They saw what man was doing, but they couldn't see what God was doing. To open their eyes to see that, to unstop their ears to hear that, to cause their legs, their lame legs, to walk upright and into that. That's been because, boy, they didn't hear the gospel of the kingdom for the last 1,500 years. They've been hearing the means to it. And they've been preoccupied with the means and have forfeited it to end. But instead of us being the mighty men and mighty women of God that we are, then we're living and dying like mere men and mere women. When all the time, we are the children of the Most High God with an inheritance for all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. But if you don't know that, and that's the devil's job, boy, to keep us from the knowledge of that, keep you from knowing that. But, boy, when you come to the knowledge of that, and see, that's what I discovered, man, you know. That's how I discovered, man, what my purpose is. That's how the Lord told me what my purpose was. He told me something. He said, listen, the church has been preoccupied with a good thing at the expense of forfeiting a great thing. They say there's a problem in the church. And when you see a problem in the church or a crisis in the church, then, man, don't look at it, man, as something that's designed to destroy it. Look at it as an opportunity to fix that. Some people look at it as a crisis. Some people look at it and see it as an opportunity. Some people see the bad things in life and all the defaults in life and all the problems in life. They see that as calamity and all that a lot of times. Then some people see it as an opportunity, especially in the worst of times. It's an opportunity for us to come up, man, and redevelop. Man, they bombed them Japanese over there in that day and time, back in that day and time we hear about Wyoming, back in 1944 when they bombed all that place over there, man. I'm talking about the whole place was devastated and everything else, man. That was in 1944, 43 somewhere. They bombed Pearl Harbor and did all that mess, all that human genome or whatever it was. You know the story. And man, I'm talking about all the cities were destroyed and everything else. People, man, millions of people, man, died. A crisis. You know what their mentality was? The Japanese man, hey, we will survive this crisis. And they saw it as an opportunity to rebuild. Instead of seeing it as a crisis or something that was designed to steal, kill, and destroy, they saw it as an opportunity, man, to rise up above it. And now in this day and time, man, them people own Hollywood, the Japanese on them. They rise up now, man, and import all these products, man, to, we buy a lot of, at one time it was a devastated place, man. Now they rose up, man, be a mighty nation, man. I'm talking about it, man, we get all our technology, all our electronic supplies and everything else, majority of them from them. And what we did at one time, man, bombed them and everything else, man, we done made them rich. Now, so we buy all our products, man, from them. So they rose above that crisis. They rose above that because they had different attitudes. Some people see it as a downfall crisis. Some people see it as an as an opportunity. That's what in the kingdom of God means. That's our summary. That's our amen. The Christ, amen. The people don't know nothing about the kingdom. They know the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they don't know the gospel that he preached. And they preoccupied with preaching the gospel of Jesus at the expense of preaching what he preached. And as a result of that, the people don't know nothing about the kingdom of God. Why? Because the leaders don't know nothing about it. And all they know is what they preach and what they told. So they don't know nothing about that. What they doing? The Bible says, from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets was preached. But now, the kingdom of heaven is preached. What do you say? You say, all the way from Moses, all the way from the Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, chapter 19, from that point on, all the way through the rest of your Bible, all the way up into Matthew, all the other books in the Bible, all the other books that come after Exodus. And Exodus is just what, fourth, fifth book in the Bible. Amen. The second book in the Bible. And from the second book in the Bible, all the way up until, man, the New Testament, man, it was a message that was preached. What? The law and the prophets. But when John the Baptist came in preaching another message, what? The gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist's message was, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who he was the forerunner. He was the one that was going to come before the one who was going to bring that message and tell him. And then, boy, he saw John, Jesus Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. And he was baptized and led in the Spirit and out into the wilderness. And after he come out the wilderness, he come proclaiming, man, that the light was shining. He come proclaiming, man, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he started preaching? Instead of the law and the prophets, he started preaching, man, the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That is at hand. It has arrived. It's here. I come to bring it back to you. It's here. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is about up, you know, and that's what God wants you to know through these radio broadcasts. And, you know, he wants you to know about the kingdom. He wants you to know, man, about what you mean the kingdom. He wants you to know about what he's doing. Not just about what you're doing and what you can do in and through him and preoccupy with that, but he wants you to know and learn about what he's doing and what he wants to do in and through you. Thank God for what we're doing in and through him, but boy, there's something greater than that. And that's what he is doing in and through us. And he wants us to seek that first. That's what it means when you say seek first the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God? What God is doing and his way of doing it. And if you seek that first, I guarantee you you'll find it. And everything else that we have need of, it'll be added unto us. Hey, listen, my wife, Gail, and I, and my family, man, we love you all with the love of the Lord. And we have one desire, man, that's this, that you might grow in the kingdom of God, that you might come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom and begin to pursue that and grow in that. And you'll come to a place where everything that proceeds out of your mouth, just like in Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything that he was talking about was pertaining to that. What? Who you are, where you come from, why you here, what you doing, and where you going to end up in. Listen, God loves you. I love you too. You continue to listen to these broadcasts, and these broadcasts are a blessing to me. It would bless us to know that. We would love to hear from you. Our phone number is area code 713-870-3776. Again, that's 713-870-3776. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. Call us. We'd be glad to hear from you. We would love to send you a copy of our message and anything else free of charge. Once again, God bless you. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
We'd like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be a further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.